Right. Who here likes stories? You like a good story? I like a good story. Let's have a story, okay. I want to tell you, today is as much as anything about a story. Every Advent, we have a theme, right? We have a theme. That's how we do things throughout the calendar. We have a theme. And usually, it used to be that when there was an Alpha, if we got to the Alpha day away and I hadn't figured out the Christmas theme, there was a mild to medium-sized panic on in my head. Okay? And the trouble is that the more panicked I get, the deafer I get to the Holy Spirit. Does anybody else find that? In fact, I get so deaf to the Holy Spirit when I'm panicked that I actually usually have to put the pressure on someone else and get them to listen and give me some information. And usually I'll find out that there's something there which has been resonating. So I was thinking about this this Advent, what we would be doing, and there was a few thoughts going around in my head, but one of them was about the humanity of Jesus. About the humanity of Jesus. That as we look at Jesus incarnate, that you could have been sitting beside him on a bench. You could have walked past him in the marketplace. You could have shared a synagogue service with him back in the day. It takes a bit of imagination for us. You could have shared a meal with him almost without noticing. Could have been part of his extended family. So that was there, and I had a chat with Diane because she's like God with skin on for me, and she had that sense too. So that was good. So we were off at the races. Then, of course, we're having a discussion with Douglas, who's with us as a student, and I was talking about going through Luke because Luke is the one gospel that speaks of of Jesus' humanity clearest, probably, clearest of all four of the Gospels. And Douglas said to me, well, do you know about the Bible Society thing, Dear Theo? And I said, I don't know about the Bible Society thing, Dear Theo. What's that? Well, they've done a fresh version. I mean, it's the New International Reader's version, I think. But it's been done for 14-year-olds, so I thought, well, that's about us, isn't it? But it's got pictures, which is always a thumbs up. I was always disappointed when I got here that you had Good News Bibles and they had old pictures taken out. That was the best bit of the Good News Bible, is you get a picture every now and then. And Dear Theo is a paperback version of Luke's Gospel and Acts as well, because Luke and Acts are two parts of the same book. They form kind of the spine of the New Testament. Luke on its own is the biggest book in the New Testament in terms of words. And you can have that and you can take that away and read it. Because an idea had come floating over the internet. You know that the best bits in Facebook are brilliant, right? And the worst bits are a nightmare. This we know. So I always go onto Facebook with a bit of trepidation. Because often I find out stuff I don't want to know. But Diane sneaks, she often pretends to be me because she doesn't have a profile of her own. She'd been on and she said, look, Kath Webster, she shared something that I think might be useful. And so I said, what's that? She said, well, if you go through Luke's Gospel a chapter a day through Advent, you'll have read the entire Gospel by Christmas Eve. Here's the thing. Beginning December the 1st, read one chapter of the book of Luke in the Bible each evening. There are 24 chapters on Christmas Eve. You'll read the entire account of Jesus' life and wake up on Christmas morning knowing who and why we celebrate. I thought, well, that's a brilliant idea. That's fantastic. Easy to do. And we can all do it together, right? We can share. So that was good. Thing is that it's a more profound story than that, because as I was getting ready for one of the most wonderful and difficult services I was to do this year, I found myself looking through Joel Byrne's Facebook page. Because I was actually looking for information about his service in the Navy, things that people had shared. There was a few details that I wanted to confirm as we were putting the service together for Joe. And guess who first shared that in our local church family? It was Joe. Kath must have liked it. And then it ended up on my feed via Kath. But this is Joe's idea. How about that? I think God's hand might be on this. But the story gets even richer, because as I was chatting with Douglas Hamilton, he was saying, oh, but do you know about, I'm just going to say, Douglas, what do you think I should know about? Because he's just a mine of information, right? Apparently, this guy here, who's an artist called Ian Campbell, has been working for the last 3 years on a project called Painting Luke's Gospel. He's painted a picture for every single chapter of Luke, 24 pictures. You want to guess what he's painting there? This is the Annunciation. This is painting one. And the lass in the picture is an Iranian asylum seeker who lives in Glasgow. She stood as a model for it. And obviously, as you can see, where is she standing? She's standing in the necropolis, right? That extraordinary graveyard in Glasgow with an angel carved into the tomb behind her. It's this amazing picture. I hope you can see that relatively clearly. Well, Ian has been painting these pictures over the last 3 years. It's just about ready to go. So how about that? So we've got that as a resource there too. And so we want to look at the humanity of Jesus. We're going to be reading our way through Luke's Gospel. And Ian Campbell, who's the artist and resident at Tron St. George's, has just completed this project of painting a picture for every chapter of Luke. So we have our Advent theme. And this one's a challenger, okay? This is a picture to be looked at and thought about. Are you ready? Okay. We've decided not to put this on the poster outdoors, but we're going to be using this in here. Check this out. And as I do so, can I just say my profoundest thanks to Andrew Dunsire for his creative skills. He's the one who puts all this together. How about that for a picture? That's the second picture in Ian Campbell's cycle through Luke's Gospel. It is a picture of the newborn. Well, it's not the newborn Jesus, and because he used models for all this, it's a newborn baby. How about that? Isn't that something? And the verse we're using is from Luke 1:28, the Lord is with you. All right? So that's a pretty good story, yeah? We're not finished yet. So I'm in Costco, parting company with my pension, as you do in Costco. Does anyone here ever shop at Costco? Right, when you do, you can join me in playing Costco Bingo, right? Costco Bingo is when you imagine how much that trolley of stuff is going to cost, all right? And if I'm within 15 quid, that's a win, all right? It also helps ease my anxiety because it's not a very Scottish place to shop, is it? It's just you end up, a trolley full's a couple hundred quid in. It's kind of like anti-Aldi's. So I was at Costco shopping, and I was communicating with Andrew Dunsire, and I'd sent Andrew some kind of ideas of what to put into the stuff for this Advent. And I'd said about, you know, these paintings that have been done by Ian Campbell. There's the Dear Theo stuff. There's the Read a Chapter of Luke a Day. Andrew sends me, I can't remember if he texted me or what. I ended up on the phone to Andrew in the crisps bit of Costco, because you can get a signal there. And I'm chatting away. And Andrew says, did you get my message? I said, which message is that? There's a few going to and fro. Oh, about the picture. That picture that Ian Campbell painted of a baby. Yeah, that picture, that's my grandson, Eli. No way. I said, yep. There you go. It's my grandson, Eli. Because in the strap line, it says, I want to say a big thank you to my friend who took his camera into the delivery room and took a picture. Well, it turns out that person's Chris, who's son-in-law to Andrew and Anne. Apparently, Linda was a bit ticked off. She didn't get a credit in it, too, seeing as she was the one who just delivered a baby, right? And who's at the other end of that umbilical cord at this point. But this is actually a picture of baby Eli. Isn't that something? So at that point, I'm kind of like, oh, now we got our Advent theme. We got it all stitched up. We can go through chapter at a time. We've got visual resources. We've got a sense of, okay, it's going to be wonderful. So let's just dip into Luke's gospel as you will be reading it today if you take up the challenge. This is from Luke 1, verses 1 to 4. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. So Theophilus is probably some kind of official, someone who has a sense that there might be something in this Messiah stuff. Theophilus is a Greek name. It means God lover. So, you know, maybe it will be, maybe it's a group of people, who knows? But the most likely thing is that Luke and Acts are written to a particular person who's trying to get his head around what's happened to Jesus. Now, had Theophilus been a good Jewish boy, then Matthew's gospel would have sufficed. Matthew doesn't explain Jewish terms. Luke does. Luke takes a lot of trouble, as indeed does Mark, to explain things as they go along. So we think that Luke is probably compiled some point in the 60s, just about 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's done for this person. That's why Luke's gospel is written. So it's written for this person, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. So this is someone who's grown up in the faith, and with wee snippets of stories, probably the Gospel of Mark circulating, which we think might well have been Peter's testimony. There's evidence of that in there, perhaps scribed down by John Mark, who was the son of the owner of the upper room. That's Christian tradition, very early Christian tradition, and for good reason. It might not be the whole story, but that's as good as we've got. But Luke has written, and Luke contains almost all of Mark's gospel, altered here and there, but Luke makes a longer story. And it's done to present Jesus, and particularly Jesus' humanity. He also has a concern for money, for the women around Jesus. There's all sorts of emphases in Luke's gospel that we would be lost without. And I think for many people, it's the most accessible of the gospels. And that's because it was written probably to someone who wasn't a Jew, who is trying to get their head around Jesus the Messiah. So that's why the gospel of Luke was written. It's right there in those first four verses. And of course, through the ages, people have read themselves into Theophilus's shoes. And here, of course, is the Annunciation. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Mary's cousin, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named, you know the story. She was engaged to be married to a man named, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you." That is the theme for this Advent. The Lord is with you. Now, you can take that a couple of ways. The Lord is with you. You know, he's with you in your daily life. That's wonderful. But it's also to do with the truth that here is Jesus arriving in the world. Now the promised Messiah has come. And that changes everything. It really does change everything. Through his life and death and resurrection, the world is a different place after Jesus than before. The Lord is with you. We read on in the Annunciation, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. That announcement of the arrival of a king that won't reign for a while, but will reign for eternity. The promised inbreaking of the kingdom of God itself. Isn't that something? The Lord is with you. So, this Advent, I mean, I could preach about that, but this Advent, I want you to take up Joel's challenge, all right? How much leverage is that? You know, good grief, you know. Wouldn't that be wonderful, though, if after Joel has gone home to be with Jesus, that he's left us with some guidance as to what to do in his absence? Isn't that something? And I, for one, want to take that seriously. This Advent, take up Joel's challenge and experience the good news of Jesus for yourself. Sometimes I think guys like us get in the way. Because we're so busy explaining it to you that you miss out yourself on just digging into God's Word. Now, some of you are a bit frightened by that. I get that. Because you might read stuff that you don't understand or read words that you can't pronounce properly, in which case just substitute them with a local place name or something like that. But trust me, as you read God's Word, I mean, who here gets medicine? Right, keep your hand up if you could draw the chemical formula for your medicine. Colin can, because he's a genius, right? But you are alone. You're a wunderkind in the midst of slightly thicker people, right? It's your area of expertise. But does it work? Does the medicine work? Okay. It's a little bit like that with reading the scriptures. We don't exactly know what's going on, but we don't read it because we already know it. We read it to experience it. The Holy Spirit has, through the generations, worked in the lives of men and women and children who have sat under His Word. I was chatting to someone this week who'd been in a difficult situation, and I was suggesting, I said, would you like me to pray with you? And they said, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not sure about the God thing. And okay. And we're off at the races. You know, this is where people find themselves. And I said, well, what's it? I'll pray for you. But then I said, do you have a Bible at home? Quite a few, the person said. I said, that's great. Try reading Psalm 20. I said, it starts out like this. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. And may the God of Jacob protect you. Some of you are whispering this out. You know this psalm. And for some of us, it's guided us through really tough times. Now, may the Lord answer you when you're in distress. I'm hoping he understands that. And may the name of the God of Jacob protect you. He doesn't know all the depth of that. He doesn't know that Jacob means cheat. And it's a, you know, it's really a reflection of God's kindness to us rebellious people outside Eden. He doesn't understand any of that. But he can still sit under God's Word and have it transform his life. Do you hear me? Just like he can still take a pill and the symptoms will be alleviated through some complex chemical formula, which we all now know, if we've got one of those to understand, make a beeline for Colin. So, chemistry, it's a wonderful thing. So I'm asking you if you're prepared to take up the challenge. And everything we do in Advent, just to warn you, every single thing we do in Advent, we'll be assuming that you have. All right? And the good news is if you get a bit sleepy and miss a week out, it's like seven chapters is like 15 minutes reading. It's not going to take you forever, but it may actually radically alter the direction of your life from here on in. So I'm asking you to take up the challenge. And that challenge, and we're going to help you because we're nice, okay? You got that? We're nice. We're nice in this church. You're going to have a daily reading, and that reading is going to correspond to your calendar. Oh, what chapter are we on today? Oh, yeah. It is the 9th of December. It will be Luke chapter. You see, this is good. This is our kind of complex, right? But you will also have access to a daily painting by Ian Campbell. By the way, Ian has given us his blessing to use his images for our... thankfully, Andy had his number in the contacts. And so we've got a thumbs up from... maybe we'll bring him through at some point. Get him to paint during one of our services of worship or something like that. We'll figure something out, all right? but a daily painting by Ian Campbell, but also, and this is wonderful too, every single painting, every day, there's a 6, 7, or 8 minute video attached to that, and I cannot encourage you enough to have a look at them. I'm going to be playing the first one after worship today. I'd love to do it in worship, but we've got lots going on. But we'll be playing it afterwards. Now, where are you going to find this stuff? On our Facebook page, and perhaps also on the website. I'm not sure about that. We'll have to see. We'll maybe put a link. There's a link in on our website to our Facebook page. There's going to be a feed every day, and every day you can pick up what the reading is and a link to look at the painting. Possibly, we'll see how we can configure it. I've given Colin a bit of a challenge there. And a link to the video so you can watch. How about that? Now, just a brief word about the humanity of Jesus, which for me, I look at this, this is a real challenging image, isn't it? A couple of people who've I've been trialing it out on people, and some people kind of, oh, that's really, really strong, and it is. Andrew warned me when he was putting it all together that it's quite a strong image. It's a very strong image, actually. But what I want to challenge us to remember is that Jesus was human, fully human. I know he was fully God, but remember that, you know, he did miracles. But actually, there's no record, apart from some very late accounts of Jesus' life that we don't recognize as authentic. He wasn't doing any miracles before he was baptized. You hear me? He did live a sinless life. That's a remarkable thing. But he didn't actually do any miracles until he was filled with the power of the Spirit at his baptism, when he identified himself with sinful humanity. The one person who didn't need to be baptized for forgiveness of their sins was Jesus of Nazareth. And yet, as he did that, God's favor was on him so much. The Father sends the Spirit on the Son, and God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit start that great conspiracy to rescue the world. You hear me? So Jesus didn't do miracles out of his divinity. He did miracles by being a Spirit-filled human, just like us. And the other thing that I want you to be thinking about is that in becoming incarnate, that Jesus is a human, that he takes on our vulnerability. This is no Marvel movie, okay? When the soldier stuck the spear in Jesus' side, it did not blunt the tip. When people accused him, he was not impervious to their cruelty. When folks rejected him, he went through that pain. Do you hear me? And I want us to be aware of that, partly because we do a disservice to ourselves and to our wider community when we give a portrayal of Jesus that's almost immune from this stuff. And I think we don't do that consciously, but sometimes we do that subconsciously. We'll maybe touch on that. But also because, friends, life is tough, is it not? And as we exit out of 2019, or we exit out of the 20-teens and move into a fresh decade, many of us have a lot of tough stuff to reflect on that we did not expect to happen in that period of time. And we need to know that the Lord is with each one of us through all of life's events, so that you're ready in your days of challenge, and they may be here already, or you may live with the after effects of them day by day. You are ready to allow the love of Jesus to be transforming that, restoring and renewing you, so that you can live with the burdens that you currently have. Whether he lifts them from your shoulders in rescue, or whether he sustains you through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you hear me? Because, friends, we live outside Eden. And the incarnation is the creator of the world, and indeed the worlds, stepping into creation. But this creation is now outside Eden, out with that garden pattern that God set for it in Genesis. but with the promise that it will be restored to the garden city of the New Jerusalem. So we live in that season. And that's tough. And we get sick and sad. And we lose loved ones. And plans go awry. And we experience betrayal and heartache and separation. And in that veil, we need to know that the Lord is with us. Properly with us. Not just there to comfort us or cheer us up, but there to carry us through. So this Advent, would you join me in reading our way through the good news of Jesus Christ?